Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for tonight is the Aaronic benediction that we will conclude our service with from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" Tonight we conclude our last worship service of this year. We conclude it the way we always do, the way we do all services, using God's benediction, the Aaronic benediction, which is our text today. This was something that in Luther's day was unique to Lutheranism. Martin Luther suggested this blessing, stating, "I believe Christ used something like this when ascending into heaven. He blessed his disciples." This benediction, you see, puts God's name on us, not some generic Lord, not some unknown God, but Yahweh, God's personal name, is placed upon us, just as the invocation at the start of the service recalls us being joined to God in baptism. So also the blessing at the conclusion of the service calls on the Lord three times and reminds us of all God has done in our baptism. Is there any better way to leave the worship than with the blessing that places God's name on us all as he claims us to be his own? So we begin looking forward to beginning a new year, and let us examine the blessings of this past year and give thanks to God. I think it's safe to say that we all understand that 2021 was not a whole lot better than 2020. Sure, we weren't as locked in as 2020, but it was a rough year, and the panic and fear and worry everybody seems to have has not really lessened much. Yet no matter what happened or what will happen in the future, we have the blessing of wearing God's name. Yahweh bless you and keep you. God's blessings are an expression of his grace, his undeserved love, and his favor towards us. We cannot buy God's blessings. We can't earn God's blessings. And contrary to some churches today and some Christian beliefs, or some of those who have self-styled their own religion, you can't demand God's blessings either. Nor does he withhold them until we ask. We learn from the small catechism, well, in dealing with the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And daily bread deals with everything that we need, physical and spiritual. So God freely gives us all we need. He supplies all our physical needs, as we often pray using the words of Psalm 145, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." God also supplies our spiritual needs in the person and works of his only begotten Son, whose birth we just celebrated 7 days ago. St. Luke writes in Acts, "To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And if God's blessings weren't enough, he keeps us also. And God's keeping is his giving us protection and guarding us from all evil. No, it doesn't mean you can climb up on the roof of our church and jump down. The devil tried to tempt Jesus of that, and that was foolishness, and Jesus pointed it out. But what it does mean is that nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is why we can join with the psalmist in Psalm 121 and pray, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Or again, as we're taught in the Lord's Prayer, we pray in the seventh petition, we pray in this petition in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possession and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. And so the benediction continues. It gives us these gifts because it gives us God and it joins us to his promises. And so the Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, or as we'll say in the setting three, his countenance will be lifted up upon you as we get to the third stanza. But you see, when the Lord's face is shining upon us, his disposition it is like when you are a child and your parents smile. Because the only other option you get is a glare. And none of us want the glare. We all like the smile, and sometimes the parents put it on with a grimace, but they smile. And other times, they're happy. But God's face, the Lord's face shining upon us, shows us that he loves us. The psalmist writes in Psalm 4, "There are many, you say, who will show us some good. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than when there are grain and wine abound." You see, God either looks upon you with disfavor, as he does with Cain, or by grace through faith, God will look upon you and look upon us with his favor, as he does with Abel. We can rejoice in God's promise and be gracious to you, is what he says. His word gracious is most frequently used to show God's forgiveness. In Exodus 34, Moses proclaims, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations." God's graciousness is not some reward for what we do, for what we did, or for what we plan to do, but simply his gracious attitude towards us because of what Jesus did as our substitute, what he continues to do interceding on our behalf, and what he provides for us in his means of grace. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven as they are joined to Jesus in his death. And in his resurrection, that forgiveness is revealed and we are born anew. This is all given in the means of grace as we who have been made heirs of heaven are fed from our Father's table. Receive the benefit of our baptism, faith in Jesus and the forgiveness of our sins as we receive today the benefit of Jesus' very body and blood. And with that, the forgiveness of our sins, unity, true unity that is expressed here at the altar, both with God and with one another as we join in making a common confession of what we are doing and what we are receiving. And as we receive today the Word, that Word was made flesh as he enters our ears and our mouths and is poured over us in a very real way. Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." And that's what these gifts provide for us. They provide for us the ability to love our neighbor, even the neighbor who hates us. To love them and offer them peace because we have peace with God. And I know it's easier said than done. That's why we begin the service with confession of our sins. For we take back God's peace from our neighbor and even from ourselves. We take back God's love from our neighbor and even from ourselves. I had somebody ask me just last week, I know the Bible says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, but what do you do when you hate yourself? Repent. That's what you do. For you are made in the image of God. You are valuable. So valuable that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you, to redeem you, to restore you, and to declare to you His peace. So then the last part of the benediction. The Lord lift up His countenance. I always get flustered with that in the hymnal, because setting one, setting two, and setting four say, and the Lord look upon you with favor. Setting three keeps it, as the ESV translates it, countenance. You see, the Lord's countenance upon you and give you peace. God's countenance is literally saying that He lifts up His face towards you. Instead of hiding His face from you because of His anger and His wrath, He looks to you. We don't want God to hide His face. That's a bad thing. That's what our sins cause. Our sins only bring judgment, death, and damnation. If God looks upon us in our sins, we are going to hell. And that's it. But by the grace of God and the gift of faith in Jesus, our sins are nailed on a Roman cross where the only begotten stretched out His arms and prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not just for those around the cross that day, but for all of us. And He said, it is finished for you and for me. And it is. And so the Christian prays that the Lord does not hide His face from us in His anger, but turns His face towards us because of His gift. My peace I give to you. St. Paul writes it this way. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, or turns His face toward you to look favorably upon you. This is because of Christ. He sees not us and our sins, but His only begotten Son, Jesus. He alone fulfilled God's commands for us, suffered our death, and rose again, and comes to us today in with an under bread and wine, so that we might be made heirs of the kingdom of heaven through the forgiveness of our sins and the unity we have in Christ. For being united to Jesus, peace now is given, and peace for eternity is guaranteed. A peace that allows comfort in times of sorrow. In fact, tonight, as we always do on New Year's Eve, like we do on All Saints Day, we will read the names during the prayers and pray for the families of those who lost loved ones in the past year. And the bell will toll at the end of each name. We do that just as we sang today in the hymn, remembering those who now shine in light before God, for they have received their reward. For we not only have comfort and peace in times of sorrow, but in times of joy. A peace that surpasses all understanding, or as we sometimes say, all human understanding, which is simply an attempt to remove the thought that there is something past God's understanding when we say all. Peace that comes to a Christian through the working of the Holy Spirit and is delivered through God's gifts, His Word. And the Word joined to simple elements of water, bread, and wine that all bring us Jesus, and with Him, peace, forgiveness, life, and salvation. So the text concludes, "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." You see, we indeed receive a bounteous blessing from our Heavenly Father, for we bear His name that He has given us now and for eternity. May the year of our Lord 2022 be much better than the year of our Lord 2021. But I can assure you of this one thing: His forgiveness is just as great every year. And so we conclude. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.